taking the city's new transit lines, horse-drawn streetcars, and steam ferries down to work each day on Wall Street, which was itself becoming the world's first business district where almost no one made their home. It was a simple but profound change in human existence. For the first time in history, people no longer lived in the same place they worked.
It is a city of colossal power and have the power, representing all his best and all his worst in America.
In the decades after the Civil War, as the Industrial Revolution roared on, a dramatic new scale would come over New York, a scale visible in its structures, its human contrasts, its sheer size. Helping to accelerate the growth was an improbable new transit system, a series of elevated rail lines, or Ls, that lifted entire trains onto tracks suspended 30 feet in the air. Running above the traffic-filled streets, the Ls were soon carrying thousands of passengers to new districts, like the Ladies' Mile, a shopping paradise for middle-class women, free for the first time to move around the city by themselves. But the line soon pushed far beyond the developed city, bringing families up to the remote pleasure ground first laid out before the war, Central Park, and helping to transform the rural areas on either side of it into the Upper East and Upper West Sides, until the length of the developed city stretched nearly all the way to Harlem. Across the East River, meanwhile, the city of Brooklyn was growing even more quickly. By the early 1880s, an extraordinary new structure could be seen rising over the river, a towering suspension bridge, the longest ever conceived, built to connect the two great cities. Strolling across the great span for the first time, New Yorkers could enjoy startling vistas of their city from above, as well as dramatic views of the bridge itself, perhaps the most graceful and heroic expression of the new urban scale. But that new scale could also be felt in other, more troublesome ways. By the 1890s, New York had become home to the greatest gulf ever seen between rich and poor. From all across America, the nation's wealthiest families were converging on Manhattan, remaking Upper Fifth Avenue into a necklace of extravagant mansions 2 miles long. Down on the Lower East Side, meanwhile, more than a half a million immigrants now crowded into some of the worst tenement housing on the planet. Uptown, photographers like Joseph Byron recorded the lavish houses and parties of the rich. Downtown, a young photojournalist named Jacob Riis plunged into the slums to bring back shocking images of how the other half lives. Together they revealed the unimaginable human contrasts within the booming industrial city. It would take years for New York to respond fully to Riis's powerful images, but as the century came to a close, the city did attempt to transform itself into a true metropolis, raising a dazzling series of civic and cultural landmarks around town, and, in 1898, carrying out an even more ambitious change. On January 1st of that year, the cities of New York and Brooklyn, together with hundreds of outlying communities, were merged into an urban colossus called Greater New York, a vast and unified canvas on which the crowded city could expand almost endlessly in the century to come.
New York is not only one of the first cities of modern birth, but also a city of a new type. Varied diversities of race and religion are creating here a city which men have not seen before, a city which has the light of prophecy.
Now the second largest city in the world after London, New York plunged into the 20th century with a new and distinctively modern sense of dynamism and movement. Downtown, the city began its thrilling race into the sky, propelled by the new white-collar economy taking shape on Wall Street and taking advantage of a revolutionary new kind of construction using steel framing and elevators that allowed its towers to rise higher than any buildings in history. Every few years, a new skyscraper claimed the title of tallest in the world. Corporate symbols on the world's first skyline, the iconic image of the modern city. But nothing about that city was more dynamic or modern than the millions of people now pouring in through the harbor, following an epic journey that took them across an ocean, past the Statue of Liberty, through the harsh inspections of Ellis Island, and into the busy streets of Manhattan, where they found refuge in the complex ethnic patchwork of the Lower East Side, a bustling human cauldron of nearly a million people from more than a dozen countries in Europe and elsewhere. Here, the newcomers would remain for just 10 years on average before upending their lives once again and moving on to newer parts of the city. By now, that outward movement was being advanced by a series of gigantic steel bridges across the East River and by an entirely new kind of transit system, an underground electric railroad called the subway. Over the next few decades, dozens of new subway lines would be pushed beneath the rivers and out into the countryside, welding the Bronx, Brooklyn, Queens, and Manhattan into a single metropolitan unit. For the price of a nickel subway ride, all the far-flung wonders of the metropolis now came within reach. Beaches and resorts at the far edge of Brooklyn, remote woodlands and ballparks in the northern Bronx, vaudeville theaters and roof gardens on Times Square. By World War I, this five-borough universe had itself been linked to the rest of the country through a pair of spectacular structures, Grand Central Terminal and Pennsylvania Station, majestic gateways through which a new generation would soon be arriving to propel the city fully into the modern age.
It was New York that filled our imagination. We were awed by the never-ending world of great towns there and by the glamorous atmosphere. We had to go there.
Emerging triumphant from the First World War and drawing waves of ambitious newcomers from across America, New York would achieve new heights of glamour and sophistication, even as it grew more socially complex and culturally rich. In Lower Manhattan, free-spirited young artists and writers established a bohemian outpost on the quaint, crooked streets of Greenwich Village. While uptown, African Americans poured into Harlem, which now became the mecca and capital of Black American culture, through the inspired literature of the Harlem Renaissance, and through an amazing new music pouring out of its dozens of nightclubs, jams. By now, the entire city was on the move, as the old dream of decentralizing the crowded tenement districts now came to pass with astonishing speed. In the course of little more than a decade, over a million New Yorkers followed the newly built subway lines to communities springing up across the Bronx, Brooklyn, Queens, and northern Manhattan. Yet even as they propelled New York outward, the subways focused and concentrated the city's energies as never before, allowing the population of not one borough, but four, to converge on Manhattan's booming center.